بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this week's edition of Living the Legacy. Each week we continue in this journey of learning more about how we can live and leave behind a fruitful and productive legacy, a legacy that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one in which we earn our homes in Jannah. May Allah make Jannah our forever after home. Ameen. On the program today, inshallah, later on, we'll be hearing from Sister Shahista Ismail Token. Sister Shahista is a transformative life coach, public speaker, educator, and a radio host. And she'll be sharing with us more on the topic of opening up to forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means for us to internalize the beauty and the wisdom in this message, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who seek to gain nearness to Him through all acts of ibadah, through all acts of worship by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. Ameen. As always, we begin the program with a reflection from the Qur'an Kareem, an opportunity for us to be inspired to read the Qur'an, to memorize it, to study it, to understand it, and most importantly, to live by the beauty of the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. For today, our reflection from the Qur'an takes us to Surah Taha, ayah number 7. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and if you utter the saying aloud, then surely He knows the secret and what is yet more hidden. As we reflect on this ayah of the Qur'an Kareem, we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, absolutely everything, that nothing is hidden from Allah, that He is the Lord of the worlds. Someday people, our loved ones, will leave us and we will leave them. But when we think of our loved ones leaving us, moving on to the next stage of this journey, and we think of how we will feel lost and helpless. At some point, we will feel like no one cares. And no one really can ever love us the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So this is always an opportunity for us to turn back to Allah now when we have the chance, because He knows it all. And turning back to Allah is the greatest blessing in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in our silent heart and what our silent hearts desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the goodness we want to spread. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows those unsaid fears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows those silent tears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when you're sad and broke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when people mock you and you don't retaliate. Allah knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, the all-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. His doors of mercy and forgiveness are always open, and He is always waiting for us to turn back to Him. So this Quranic reflection of ayah number 7 from Surah Taha is a reminder to you and I, in this very moment, to turn back to our Creator, to ask and to seek from Him alone, because no one understands the heart better than the one who created it. No one understands the heart better than the one who created it. And so this journey of life takes us through to the realization that we are to live detached from the expectations of others, living in a way where we do not expect from others in this world, because that does lead to disappointment. And often people say, how do we get to that space where we, you know, we're not expecting from people? It feels like such a human nature to expect things from others. And so it is, can we take that expectation and can we turn that focus of the expectation to the Supreme One, the only, Al-Awwal, Al-Akhir, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we start living in a space of expectation from our Rabb, our merciful Rabb, we will experience this deep inner peace within. And in the world we live in today, where everything is so much so that it is tit for tat, you do, I will then do for you. You give me, I will give you back. Let us be the people who do good, even if we do not receive good from others. Not for the sake of people, but for the sake of our Rabb, who knows every minute detail in our hearts. And inshallah, we will receive a lot more of goodness than we ever thought of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us turn back to Him. May Allah bless us all with good health. May Allah eliminate our worries. May He fill our hearts with peace and happiness. And may He grant all our du'as. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Really, this is really the opportunity for us, you know, we find ourselves living in this day and age where there is so much of uncertainty. And we have this opportunity, we have this chance to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every given moment, turning back and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His guidance, for His help as we go on this path to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us this understanding. May Allah make us of the people of reflection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who turn to Him regularly, frequently, seeking from Him. Because truly it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can grant us what we need at any given moment. May Allah grant us this understanding. Ameen. So our topic today is all about forgiveness. And today we're going to discover more with our guests later on in the program, all about opening up to forgiveness. So we want to put our focus for today on the topic of forgiveness. What does the Quran and Sunnah teach us about forgiveness? What do we learn from Quran and Sunnah about forgiveness? Let's discover more. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We think of forgiveness as a glue for the broken heart. Crash, bang, smash. What was that? Maybe the sound of a once sound heart shattering into a million pieces. Imagine you are the person carrying that heart, covered in pain and soaked in tears. Maybe you don't have to imagine, because maybe that is your heart. We are the brokenhearted. Betrayal, oppression, depression, deception, whatever it may be that happened to us, the result is the same. A broken heart at the hands of a human. A broken heart that feels like it can never be fixed, and that it was entirely someone else's fault. It would be enough if they had just hurt us and all we had to do is deal with the pain that came from their actions, but no. Rather, the pain, the hurt, the brokenness, it brought out the worst in us, allowing us to see our own faults and painful ones at that. How do we go on? How do we move on with life? How do we shift our focus back to the one who deserves it? How do we stop obsessing over the wrongs that occurred and start focusing on the only one who should be obsessed over? One word for how we can move and shift past this and turn our focus back to Allah, that one word is forgiveness. When a person is soaked in sin and wants to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they begin with repentance. The person wholeheartedly turns to Allah, asks Allah to forgive him utterly and completely, even though the asker may not be deserving. And so likewise, the path back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after a severely broken heart at the hands of a human is forgiveness. When it comes to forgiveness, the key is shifting how we see forgiveness. As always, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a beautiful tool to make this shift. And that is the story of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Of the many fruitful parts of the story of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam is that of his being wronged by the wife of his master. And so we all know what happened in that story. We know how she attempted to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam, right? And so in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, not only did she attempt to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam, but she landed him in jail by blaming him of the unthinkable instead of taking the blame. Imagine, this is a woman who, as the wife of his master, was supposed to be able to trust. This was a woman whom he served during the day. Yet when her desires took over, she wronged him many times over. Despite all of this, the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam did not act wrongfully, nor did he hold a grudge. Why? Yusuf alayhi salam knew the reality of forgiveness. When all was exposed and the truth revealed, Yusuf alayhi salam made a revolutionary statement. He said, "I do not free myself from all blame. Truly, the nafs," meaning the base self, "is inclined to evil, except for those whom my Lord grants his mercy. Truly, my Lord is oft forgiving, most merciful." Allahu Akbar. A huge, humbling, life-changing lesson we can take from his statement is, you are not the oppressor in this situation only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with his mercy. Every soul has the ability to wrong others. Every soul has the ability to be the oppressor. And only Allah's mercy prevents that. So the next time we begin to feel this immense and absolute anger towards the person who has harmed us, let's make that shift and forgive. Forgive the one who has wronged us, not because that person deserves it, but rather forgive them as a sign of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgive as a symbol of our thanking him for blessing us to be of those who never thought of hurting a person in the manner we have had to endure. Forgive as a symbol of our thanking Allah for making us the oppressed and not the oppressor. There is no sin in being the oppressed. Rather, Allah tells us that he is with the one who has been wronged and is constantly answering their dua. But what of the oppressor? The oppressor has the anger of Allah and the displeasure of Allah, and realize that the one who has oppressed you has oppressed themselves more. For it is that person who will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and have their oppression accounted for if they are not of those who repented. So on that day, they will be their own greatest victims. We're going to go for a break and continue with this topic on forgiveness. Stay with us.
The road to enlightenment, a path of spirituality, your companion toward Allah. Radio Islam International, the world is our community.
أنا درة مكنونة أنا This is Living the Legacy with Hafiza Rayana on Radio Islam International. Stay inspired.
Alhamdulillah, we are into the second segment of this hour as we continue with our discussion on the topic of forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us as we seek forgiveness from Him. Ameen. When we talk about forgiveness, we say that those who are the oppressors are the ones who are going to be their own greatest victim on the Day of Judgment. And so let us forgive as a statement that says, O Allah, I'm not forgiving them for their sake. Rather, I am forgiving them as a sign of gratitude to you for steering me clear of those desires. Ya Allah, I'm forgiving them out of my love for you. Ya Allah, I'm forgiving them because I know you love it when a slave of yours is merciful to others. And I want to be of the ones that you love. My desires tell me to wish evil for them and to hold this grudge, but I put you, Ya Allah, over my own desire and I forgive them. Pray for those who hurt you. Pray for those who do not accept you. Love them for the sake of Allah. Pray that they recognize their wrongs before they face their Lord. Pray that no one ever has to go through the same thing you did at the hands of this person. And may it be all a means of us gaining nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us this understanding. Ameen. So let's talk briefly on forgiveness and tolerance in Islam. What does Islam teach us about forgiveness and tolerance? It never ceases to amaze me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can inspire so much of fear in our hearts when we reflect on His supremacy, yet His mercy is equally as vast as His dominion. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky, and were you then to ask forgiveness of me, I would forgive you. At-Tirmidhi. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. There is no limit to Allah's forgiveness, even though our mistakes are numerous. But what's disheartening is how seldom we are able to forgive each other, and how often we are impetuously intolerant towards one another. Islam teaches us that the strongest of servants are those who not only have the strength to suppress their anger when they are tested, but also possess an immeasurable capacity to forgive. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever suffers an injury and forgives, meaning the person responsible, Allah will raise his status to a higher degree and remove one of his sins. At-Tirmidhi. If we can sincerely forgive those who anger us inwardly and outwardly, then that cleanses our souls from shaitan and his negative energy. It is important to disregard vain criticisms, and this is the first step towards being tolerant. Of course, this is not done without difficulty because it is hard to understand why those who have caused us grievances wanted to do so in the first place. But this is where the battle with our inner self can take a positive turn and allow us to elevate our iman. This inner struggle is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the greater jihad. Because it involves tolerance and fighting the evil within ourselves in order to purify our hearts. This is always done for the sake of Allah and to purify our spiritual conditions. Islam also teaches us that the best kind of forgiveness is answering the oppression of others with kindness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam inspired us with this practice when he said, Allah has ordained me to maintain ties with those who sever ties with me, and to give to those who deprive me, and to forgive those who oppress me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een were merciful in their conduct. What immeasurable acts of compassion they showed to us. They practiced unmatched generosity. They demonstrated that when we open our hearts and pardon others, we are granting ourselves an inner peace. And this is how we can prevent spite from suffocating our hearts, which is so crucial, because hatred has this ability to make us internally ill. We think that hatred is a means of revenge against those who harmed us, but by begrudging them, we're only harming ourselves. This is because our enemies will never feel our anger, and they just live contently, but we are the ones suffering. When we forgive others, it brings relief to our souls. It's a kind of liberating release. And this is because when someone has upset us, they have a power over us because we allowed them to do so. Life is short. Let's not waste our energy on being angry and seeking revenge. If we can progressively minimize our spite every day, then soon we will bear no malice and hatred in our hearts, inshallah. This is how we can end conflict amongst ourselves, because it is a day-to-day issue that we all face. After all, sometimes our own actions can provoke another person's wrongdoings, and we may not be aware of how we actually contributed to that conflict. We all tend to judge the faults of others while being blind to our own. We forget how we have wronged others, and we only remember how others have wronged us. In the same manner, we forget the good things that others have done for us and remember only the good that we have done for them. It is an innate human error, but let us try to remember our own shortcomings before we reflect on the shortcomings of others. Let us stop victimizing ourselves and think about how we have victimized others and seek their forgiveness. And if they ask our forgiveness, let us be ready to grant it. Let us keep in mind that how we treat others is how Allah will treat us. So, if we are in that space of safety and that ability to be able to forgive, let us do so. And remember, for many, it is a journey. It's not something that may happen overnight. It may take time, and that is okay. Everyone has their own journey, but let's start somewhere at least, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all the children of Adam alayhi salam constantly err, but the best of those who constantly err are those who constantly repent. This hadith is recorded in the works of At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. We've talked about recently the aspect of gaining tranquility. How do we have tranquil hearts and peaceful, contented hearts? And you know, sometimes we don't know why we feel down. We've previously talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine attribute of Al-Jabbar, and how we should go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help mend our broken hearts. Sometimes it's more than that. It's the heavy weight of sins on our hearts. Now this topic may make us uncomfortable because it's something we don't like to be reminded of. It is difficult to think of and to face up to our sins. It even makes us more depressed. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us something very profound about the link between sins and the state of our hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a slave commits a sin, a black spot appears on his heart. Subhanallah, when we commit sins, they weigh heavily on our hearts. So imagine a spiritual darkening of the heart due to the wrongs that we commit. Is it then any wonder why we often are challenged and we can't find it easy to pinpoint what's actually weighing us down, what's actually pulling us down, what's actually making us feel down, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us of the cleanser for this. And he said, but if he gives it up, seeks forgiveness and repents, his heart will be cleansed. Of course, because it's difficult to pinpoint every wrong that we do, salah is also a cleanser. So is wudu. But for a targeted cleansing, right? Think about clothing when we wash. We may have a specific washing powder that we use to wash our clothes in general, whether it's hand washing or putting it into the machine. But then we have different types of washing powders or sprays or special detergents that we'd use for different things, like where we have really tough stains, or if we're washing a white piece of clothing or fabric, we may use a different type of washing powder or washing detergent. So when we think of our hearts too and how we wash them, some need more intense cleaning, some need, you know, a different quality of a detergent, a cleanser for our hearts. So think of our hearts in that same way. We have salah that cleanses the heart, we have wudu that cleanses the heart as well. But for a targeted cleansing, think of those stubborn stains on the clothing, for example. So for a targeted spiritual cleansing, we need something more, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but if he repeats it, the blackness will increase until it overwhelms his heart. At-Tirmidhi. So what we need is istighfar and tawbah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, setting aside some time to sit back and reflect, you know, to seek forgiveness and try not to commit that sin again is a way to improve ourselves and to realize how Allah is merciful and forbearing. Despite the fact that we commit so many wrongs ourselves, and yet Allah has not punished us. Now sometimes we avoid apologizing to a human being because we feel we will be rejected, or that that person will make it very hard for us to be forgiven. So we end up just avoiding the situation. And sometimes the shame makes us unable to say sorry. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there should be no fear of that. When we admit to our wrongs and make a conscious and sincere effort to ask forgiveness from Allah, Allah is ready to forgive our sins, even if our sins are like mountains. It's amazing how the very act of returning to Allah after we've committed a wrong is itself an act of worship that Allah loves. In a hadith Qudsi, we learn, O son of Adam, so long as you call upon me and ask of me, I shall forgive you for what you have done, and I shall not mind. O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky, and were you then to ask forgiveness of me, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, were you to come to me with sins nearly as great as the earth, and were you then to face me, ascribing no partner to me, I would bring you forgiveness nearly as great as it. At-Tirmidhi. Sometimes we assume that it's only those who have committed these grave sins that need to return to Allah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, beware of minor sins, for they add on until they destroy a person. At-Tabrani. We're going to go for our next break, and when we return, continue with the topic of seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay with us. We continue with our journey of learning more about forgiveness. In the first segment, we began by learning about forgiving others. And then we're learning now about divine forgiveness, forgiveness that comes from our Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we spoke before the break about how whatever stage we are at, we need istighfar, we need true repentance. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would seek forgiveness 70 times a day. Why do we feel that we have to commit something that is especially bad in order to ask Allah to forgive us? If we think about it, every sin is a black dot. And these black dots accumulate and accumulate until our hearts become hard and they don't feel anymore. You know, so let's turn back to istighfar and make that a part of our lives. Let's not wait until we've committed a big major sin and then we're saying astaghfirullah, but let it be part of our daily routine to seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we constantly go back to Allah seeking His forgiveness, we are reminded. We're reminded of His mercy. We're reminded of His grace. We're reminded that it is only by His power that our hearts are still beating. And yet we have these black dots that we need to clean. And so it should humble us in the concept, the principle of turning back to Allah over and over again, no matter our state, should be humbling. Because we are forced to face these minor sins that weigh heavily on our hearts. And through that, our hearts are cleansed, inshallah. Because we face our sins, we're constantly trying to improve, we do not become complacent. And that's the place we want to be at. It may seem hard, but a load will be taken off our shoulders when we're constantly returning to Allah. And by doing this, we will have realized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, Al-Ghaffar, the oft-forgiving, Al-Ghafoor, the forgetting, At-Tawwab, the one who constantly accepts repentance, Ar-Rahim, the All-Merciful. And we are essentially reaffirming our belief in His attributes. Look at this example of Allah's mercy when we commit sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us this in a hadith. The scribe on the left, the angel on the left, delays registering the sin of a Muslim for 6 hours. If he repents, meaning within these 6 hours, and seeks Allah's forgiveness, they drop it off. If he doesn't, they write it down as a single sin. And this is mentioned in the works of Tabarani. So imagine that, we commit a sin and many times we don't even realize we've committed a sin until later or maybe never. Astaghfirullah. But if we have this habit daily, constantly throughout our day, now and then saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And if we are saying that once and even just once an hour and saying it sincerely, isn't there a greater chance that that blackness and those black dots will not settle on our hearts? And inshallah, that the angel who had written it down will then not, you know, put it in that book of permanence, right? So let us make dua for that, inshallah. Because if within that 6 hours we repent, then they will drop that sin off. But if we don't, then it's written down as a single sin. Moreover, if we seek forgiveness sincerely, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our repentance, not only does Allah forgive us, but He turns those bad deeds into good. Imagine that years of sinning could turn into years of reward. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. Except for those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds, for them Allah will replace their evil deeds with good, and ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Surah 25, Ayah 70. How could we not want to return to Allah, who is truly the most merciful of those who show mercy? And there are ways in which we are to seek forgiveness from Allah. As much as our topic today is about forgiveness and forgiving each other within human relationships, we must never forget that we are the servants of the only one who truly forgives. And that needs to be a part of our daily lives, that we are repeating and we are reflecting on Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, verily, tawbah from sin is regretting the action and seeking forgiveness. So the internal component is to regret what we have done. Whether it's a small lie, whether it's a glance at something we should not be looking at, whether it's being heedless, or even something greater. The external component is to ask Allah for forgiveness. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a few ways how. I'm going to recap two of them. The first is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that whoever says this during the day with firm faith in Allah and dies on the same day before the evening, he will be from the people of paradise. And if someone recites it at night with firm faith in it and dies before the morning, he will be from the people of paradise. And the dua, as we know it, is known as Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani, wa ana abduk, wa ana ala ahdika, wa wa'adika mastata'at, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at, abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayh, wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi faghfirli, fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. So you could search in your dua book, or Sayyidul Istighfar, the leader, the crown of Istighfar. Beautiful. Say this firmly, with firm iman in the morning and in the evening. And may Allah make us of the people of paradise. Such a beautiful meaning. Let's review it together. Sayyidul Istighfar translates as, O Allah, you are my Lord. None has the right to be worshipped but you. You created me. And I am your slave, and I am faithful to my covenant and my promise as much as I can. I seek refuge with you from all the evil I have done. I acknowledge before you all the blessings you have bestowed upon me, and I confess to you all my sins. So I entreat you to forgive my sins, for nobody can forgive sins except you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, whoever commits a sin and then performs wudu and then offers salah seeking forgiveness of Allah, Allah will certainly forgive him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who constantly return to him for forgiveness as a means to achieve tranquility in our hearts, so that when we finally meet him on the day of judgment, we are of those who, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, of those who come to Allah with a sound heart. Because on that day, nothing will avail us, not wealth, not children. Only those who come to Allah with a sound heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and our loved ones sound hearts. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. You know, we look at this life and we think about how short this life is and how important it is for us to turn back to Allah, to seek forgiveness from Allah, and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our wrongdoings. Forgiveness means closing an account of an offense against Allah or any of His creation. And forgiveness is important for many reasons. Very importantly for the Akhirah, that we forgive to seek forgiveness. Seeking forgiveness is a sign of humility, and forgiving others is a sign of benevolence. And seeking forgiveness and forgiving others adds to our happiness in this dunya as well. But besides that, forgiving improves relations with people. And so importantly, most importantly, is that Allah loves the benefactors. Who doesn't want Allah to love them? Of course we all want that. Wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin. And Allah loves the good doers. Forgiveness itself is protection, and it brings great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we've just now mentioned Sayyid al-Istighfar, this beautiful dua for forgiveness, which is so comprehensive. But let's not forget that to receive forgiveness from Allah, the three main requirements. Number one is recognizing the offense itself and its admission before Allah. The second is committing not to repeat the offense. And the third is asking for forgiveness from Allah. And when we ask or seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can do this by asking for forgiveness after our salah. We can ask forgiveness using Allah's divine names, At-Tawwab, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Ghaffar, At-Tawwab, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. To stay away from forbidden matters and to focus on the fard, the fara'id of Islam. And of course, there are many du'as, like the Sayyid al-Istighfar. There are different formats of istighfar du'as. Most of them are shorter than Sayyid al-Istighfar. But those which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited and taught to his sahaba radiallahu anhum, let us make that our habit to read these du'as of istighfar. And also what's so important when it comes to forgiveness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is practicing self-control. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I shared this hadith earlier, but really it's such a profound hadith, because self-control is key to us growing and healing and being able to forgive and being able to accept that plea for forgiveness from others. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever suffers an injury and forgives, Allah will raise his status to a higher degree and remove one of his sins. So alhamdulillah, our deen is so complete, it is so concise, it is so comprehensive, that it gives us all the tools that we need to be able to forgive other human beings, to request forgiveness from others, and most importantly, to seek that divine forgiveness from our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it is only Allah who can grant that and no one else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. Coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from our esteemed guest today, Sister Shahista Ismail Token. And Sister Shahista is going to take us through the topic of opening up to forgiveness. More coming up, inshallah, after this break. Our guest today on the topic of opening up to forgiveness is Sister Shahista Ismail Token. Sister Shahista is a transformative life coach, public speaker, educator, and radio host. It's always a pleasure to have Sister Shahista joining us on the program. She shares such gems and inspiration. Alhamdulillah. Sister Shahista, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah, Sister Rehana, for having me on the show again. It's really a privilege and an honor. Forgiveness is a conscious and deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance. To me, a quote that resonates here is, "Don't let anyone rent a space in your mind unless they are a good tenant," which actually means that holding on to these feelings of hate, anger, or hurt affects us more than it affects the person that has caused those feelings and emotions. And therefore, forgiveness is actually about freeing ourselves from the negative emotion more than about them. So back to your question, failing to forgive and holding on to that grudge affects us. It increases our anxiety, our depression, the lack of being mindful in the present moment. And as a result of not releasing this forgiveness, I've learned that it tends to create more harm in our bodies, in our emotional and our mental state. One other thing is, personally, we use forgiveness as an emotion strategy for coping and promoting mental health. Now that we've made the decision to forgive, the impact of this forgiveness happens in four stages. The first is uncovering the anger. So find out the reason behind that anger, that hate that has caused you to feel this way. The second will be to decide to forgive. Remember, it has to be a conscious decision, putting us back in control of making our decision for ourselves and why we're doing it. Number three would be working on that forgiving, because it shouldn't be something that naturally comes to us as human beings. We are imperfect and we all hold on to a bit of emotion and hurt and ill feeling for a while, but really identifying the way in which we need to work on it, process it, and let it go to move on is very important. And the thought would be to release the emotional prison. Remember, this is what I spoke about earlier, is we tend to hold on more to how it made us feel than the actual person that made us feel that way. So it actually restricts us from getting over it, moving forward, letting go, and rebuilding. And we carry it with us daily sometimes if we're in contact with that person. So it's really, really unhealthy. The five languages of an apology is so important, because that's actually what makes forgiveness real, is asking the person to forgive you, is expressing regret, which is number one, saying I'm sorry, the physical action of, you know, reaching out and trying to rebuild the relationship. The second is accepting responsibility if you were wrong, or even just to build that bridge or reach out with that olive branch, you know, trying to take responsibility as the person who's taking that high road in a situation. Number three would be to make restitution. What can I do from my side to actually make things right and to set the new tone of going forward? The fourth would be genuine repentance. I'll try not to, you know, do it again, or let's try and avoid the situation. It would be a negotiation, but a very good conversation to be had. And the last is to request the actual forgiveness. Please forgive me. Or, you know, ask the person with a genuine sincerity. You know, this comes to mind very quickly. There was recently a show that I had about where these messages come through every significant night or big night and so on, and people say, please make math. It actually has no meaning anymore, and it's just a lip service or a text message which has no value, because we should rather ensure daily that we are not hurting anyone or behaving in a way where it needs or requires forgiveness to be asked from another person. And if we sleep on our pillows every night with that accountability and that sense of reflectiveness, then we are actually living in the way the Prophet ﷺ has asked us to. And these messages that come through actually leave us thinking, you know, what did the person do, or why is the person asking? So it leads to a bit of, you know, unfamiliar conversation or confusion. And therefore, I think in terms of asking for that forgiveness immediately when it does happen, it releases the emotion much quicker and it is more sincere.
Alhamdulillah, and we'd like to say Jazakumullah khairan to our sister Shahista for sharing with us on this topic of opening up to forgiveness. We hope that this hour on the topic of forgiveness has given us all lots of food for thought, that it will inspire the daily routine of the dhikr of istighfar, and also get us to think about forgiving others and being open to accepting their request for forgiveness. Most importantly, that we see this within the light of Islam. Sister Shahista, Jazakumullah khairan for your time. As always, there are gems we learn from you. May Allah bless you. And to our listeners, Jazakumullah khairan for joining us on this week's edition of Living the Legacy. Join us next week as we continue our journey together to live our legacy and leave one behind one day. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.